We come to that part of our service which is commonly called the fencing of the table. Why do we fence the Lord's table? Well, when you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, when Paul speaks about the institution of the Lord's table, you discover that he speaks about many abuses that were taking place at Corinth. And in seeking to address these abuses, the apostle warned the church at Corinth that those who would go to the Lord's table, who would profane the sacrament, would be punished, and that God's judgment would come upon them. Now, there is no doubt that the apostle, when he writes there, is dealing with specific issues related to the church at Corinth. But having said that, the apostle also gives us, as the church in all ages, a similar warning. We may not have the same abuses that there are in Corinth, but yet, nevertheless, whatever abuses there may be of the Lord's table, we must safeguard against it. And the warning that the apostle gives here, therefore, in verse 27, is, wherefore whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. It is, in fact, a warning that we would take and the church would take in every generation. It then becomes us to ask the question, what does the apostle mean when he says, eat unworthily? What does it mean when it says, eat unworthily? Now, it's just like any meal. I am sure there are, we can use many illustrations to illustrate a meal. Someone will eat unworthily because they are simply not invited to the table. You can have degrees of abuse in that, like someone who is a fornicator, a drunkard, a liar, a cheat. People whose lives are characterized by that, they are not invited to the Lord's table. They are showing contempt for the Lord and for the blood of the covenant. They are showing contempt for the Lord when their lives are outwardly rebelling against God and they are profane. Now, that might be in some places extreme, in other places it might not be so extreme. You might find places where people just go to the Lord's table and one day they're living one way, the next day they're in the Lord's table and they're out and they're living again just as the world, the flesh and the devil in their lives. They're not welcome to the Lord's table. They're eating and drinking unworthily. But there are those who make no preparation, for example, to come to the Lord's table. They're careless, they may be irreverent. They may not be outwardly profane as other people that we've described just now, but they have no respect to the host of the table. They have no respect to him whose table it is. You imagine having a table and you set the table and you invite guests and then someone comes along and they have no respect to you whatsoever. They just come along and they say, well, I'll sit here if I want to sit here and I can do what I like. And they really have no respect to the host. Well, so it is with those who come without any preparation, without any respect or reverence to the Lord Jesus Christ, to his table. And the fact is, do they really eat of the Lord Jesus Christ at the table? It says here, wherefore whosoever shall eat this bread eats unworthily. Do they really eat and partake of the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, you can get many weak Christians. You can get people who are weak persons, and because of the weakness of their faith, because of the weakness of their Christian life and everything, you might say, well, they're unworthy. But they will partake of the Lord Jesus Christ. But someone who is devoid of the Spirit of grace does not partake of Jesus Christ. They partakes, perhaps, of the outward sign, but not of Christ himself. John Calvin puts it this way. Christ and the Spirit are never separated from each other. If you do not have the Spirit of grace within you, then you will not partake of Christ himself at the table by faith. You will partake of the outward sign, but you will not, as the apostle here says, they do not discern the Lord's body. They don't discern by faith the Lord Jesus Christ. So that while Christ is presented to the wicked or the profane or the unregenerate, while Christ is presented in the bread and the wine, just as he is presented in the preaching of the gospel, the unregenerate, the profane, those who don't know Christ, those who don't have the Spirit of grace, they may partake of the outward, but they don't partake of Christ himself. We must therefore, as the apostle says here then, examine ourselves. Let a man examine himself, and so let him eat. What is it then that you're looking for if you're examining yourself? Well, we've already indicated one or two things, at least implied one or two things, but can I suggest to you two things that you must have to sit at God's table? Two things that if a man examines himself, he must discover. Let a man examine himself and see if he finds these two things, faith and repentance. Faith and repentance. Have you been shown your sins and your need to repent of your sins? That of yourself you have nothing, and that you can bring before the Lord and count yourself worthy, that you are, that every sin that's in the world out there is to be found in here. And have you repented of your sin? It's a saving grace when a man turns from his sins with grief and hatred to God. Have you mourned over your sin? And the second thing is, do you have saving faith in Christ? While you turn away from the one, you turn to the other. While you turn away from yourself, you turn to the Saviour, in whom alone we are sanctified, made perfect, in whose precious blood alone you are able to shelter. Now, a person may sit at the table and say, well, I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy. One of God's people might turn around and say, well, I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy. And my friend, that's true. But what are you not worthy of? What is it you're talking about when you say you are not worthy? You might be someone who has yet never even come to the Lord's table, and you may be one of God's people, and you may hold back. You say, well, I'm not worthy to go to the table. What are you not worthy of? Because the Apostle Paul here doesn't say to you that you're a good Christian or you're perfect or anything else. He says you are worthy for one thing and one thing only, and that is to go to God's table. And you are worthy to go to God's table if you have faith and repentance and you're trusting in Christ alone. It's not saying anything else. The apostle here is not saying that you might be a very weak Christian, and you may feel yourself a very unworthy Christian. How many of us feel that we are weak Christians? We are unworthy Christians. But Paul here is not talking about or that subject. He's saying here those who are worthy to go to the table, you examine yourself and you find, do you have repentance and do you have faith? Are you trusting in Christ? Well, that makes you worthy alone to sit at the table. Well then, let's see what the Apostle Paul says when he writes to the Galatians. This I say then, and he makes a distinction between those who are the Lord's and those who have the grace of the Spirit, those who are born again, those who have the Spirit and therefore will discern the Lord's body. This I say, walk in the Spirit. You shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are the contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and the such like. Of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. They that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If you live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vain glory, provoking one another, envying one another. Let us sing in Psalm 118. And as we sing, I would ask the brethren if they would bring the elements to the table. As we sing in Psalm 118 from verse 15, and we'll sing three verses until the elements are on the table. Psalm 15, three verses, or until the elements are on the table. In dwellings of the righteous is heard the melody of joy and health. The Lord's right hand doth ever valiant lee. From verse 15, in dwellings of the righteous. Singing at verse 19, and again we will sing three verses, or until all of the members are seated at the table. And we would invite those members who are intending being communicants this day if you would make your way to the table during the singing, if you're not already at the table. Psalm 118 from 19, three verses, or until all are at the table, said, "Ye open unto me the gates of righteousness."
Oh, said ye,
my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. But he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not to share in the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. But if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that ye come not together unto condemnation. And rest what I set in order, when I come." We read that on the night in which the Lord was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, and we read he gave thanks, and we will seek to emulate the example of our Lord. Gracious and ever blessed Lord, we thank thee today that we can come to the table of the Lord, that thou hast spread a table in the midst of our enemies, that even in the midst of a dark world, thou hast given to us a table that we can come to, and there we can sit and feast with thee. We pray that the Spirit of our Lord Jesus Christ this day would be among us, that the Holy Spirit would take of the things of Christ and reveal them to us, not only to our ears as we hear the word of God, but to the sense of eye, and to as we see and behold the symbols of the broken body and the shed blood, as we are able to smell those things and to touch them. Lord, we pray that all our senses in this at this time would be exercised in beholding the Lord Jesus Christ, that we by faith would behold him. We thank thee, O Lord, that these are only symbols. We thank thee that they are but of the world, and they are used by thee, but they are used by thee to stir up our faith, to see past them, and to behold him who is our Saviour. We thank thee that today the Holy Spirit would take of the Word of God and use these elements and all that we would have here, that it would be used to our comfort, to the strengthening of our faith, that we would remember the Lord Jesus Christ, and particularly that we would remember his death. For when we remember his death, we remember what he has done for us. He bore our sins on that accursed tree. He became sin who knew no sin. He it was that was nailed to the tree. He it was that bore the sin of many. And we thank thee, O Lord, today, that in the sufferings of our Lord Jesus Christ, there is safety for thy people. We bless thee that he never reviled from going to that cross. Rather, we thank thee that the Lord did thy will, and it was said of him, to do thy will I take delight. We thank thee that he delighted in thy will, and that it was thy will that thou would save poor sinners such as we are, bringing them into thy house, adopting us into thy family, and providing a table here for us to partake of. Lord, we pray that as we lay aside these temporal elements to a holy and to a godly use, we pray that thou would be blessed to it, they would be blessed to us, and that we would together be united at the table as brethren in the Lord Jesus Christ, that we would be united in him, seeing and beholding him, that his love would draw us. Bless us now and pardon us all our sins for Jesus' sake. Amen.
I just want to, for just a few moments, to give you a few thoughts from Genesis chapter 35. Genesis chapter 35, and I want to just look at a few words that we have at the beginning of the chapter. And God said unto Jacob, Arise, go up to Bethel, and dwell there, and make there an altar unto God, that appeared unto thee when thou fleddest from the face of Esau, thy brother. God said to Jacob, Go, arise, and go to Bethel. Very often the Lord's table is like a Bethel to God's people. It's a place where they are able to eat bread and to have great blessings. Jacob was instructed by the Lord to make his way to Bethel. Have you ever stopped to think how wonderful the Bible is, that it gives us the problems of God's people in every generation? It doesn't hide their sins. It doesn't hide their problems. It opens them up to us for our encouragement. And as we contemplate the Lord's table, I want to encourage you in seeing the problems that Jacob himself had when God came and told him to go to Bethel. First of all, he had problems with his children. The previous chapter, you read of Reuben and Simeon and the account that there was with Shechemites, and we don't want to go into all that took place there, but Jacob says, Thou hast caused my name to stink among the inhabitants of this land. Imagine that. His children had caused his name to stink. What problems Jacob had, even with his children. This is the man of God. Then you go back and think of the last time you were at the communion season and you sat at the table here.
Is there someone here perhaps today that can associate somewhat with Jacob? His family causing him so much trouble, so much problems. Perhaps things in our lives that nobody else knows about, nobody else imagines. But Jacob here, what it must have been like to him, for him to have his children behave in such a way that made his very name to stink among the people. But you know, it wasn't only his children. You think that might be bad enough, but it was his wife and his whole household. Look at verse 2. Then Jacob said unto the household and to all that were with him, put away the strange gods that are among you, and be clean, and change your garments. The idols that they probably had were the idols that were taken probably out of Laban's house. They had been there all along, and Jacob had done nothing about it. My friend, you look at your home. You look at your life, and I look at my life. And how much have we left undone in our own homes? Many idols that we perhaps have in our lives, and we've not dealt with them. Jacob's household, he says, put away the idols from me. It's as though he wakens up now to the fact that these idols are there. And God has said to him, you must do something about them. Communion season is very often a time when people can have a new start. May it be that we would, as we sit at the table, leave the table, be encouraged. But even Jacob wasn't perfect. There's only one that's perfect. The Lord Jesus Christ. And if he were to mark iniquity against you and me today, for the idols that we perhaps have in our home, where would we stand? But there's a third thing that Jacob had. It wasn't just his children, wasn't just his household. It was himself. Arise and get back to Bethel. Go back to where you began. Jacob had promised when he left Bethel, if I come back to this place. He's gone down, the Lord has been with him, the Lord has blessed him, he's brought him back from Laban, and Jacob hasn't come back to Bethel the way he ought to have done. It's as though the Lord is saying to Jacob at this time, Jacob, you're not what perhaps you ought to be. And do you know what you need to do? Go back to where you began. Go back to Bethel where I showed you heaven opening and the angels ascending and descending upon the ladder where I bless you. My friend, perhaps there might be some here today. And what we're needing is to go back to that first love. When the Lord first met with us and he blessed us. When he first opened up heaven to us, I remember an elder in Glasgow, and he's still alive today, but as a young man, he said, 16 years of age, he's now an older man, considerably older. So I was 16 years of age and I went to a communion service on a Friday night. And in that Friday night service, it was like Jacob in Bethel. The heavens were open. And I saw the ladder and the angels ascending. He says, I saw Christ, the ladder. And he says, I left that building that night and I walked down Byers Road at once and made my way home. Beside the Great Western Road. And he says, I heard the trees rustling. And it was as though the trees themselves of sin to the glory of God. And he said, I desired then that the Lord would take me to be with himself. That wasn't the Lord's purpose. He's lived a consistent life since then, but what I'm saying is this. The Christian always must be seeking the great blessing of the Lord. And sometimes it is with us, and very often surely with us, that as we go on, we also must go back to the place where it began and say, Lord, bless me and show me these great things once again. We pray that today, as we are at the Lord's table, that the Lord indeed would take each one of us back to show us the first and glorious time when he blessed us. Will not keep the arm and strong you any longer. After he had given thanks, he prayed and said, take heed, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner, he says, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show forth the Lord's death until he come. Genesis 35, verse 1. God said unto Jacob, arise and go up to Bethel. Arise and go up to Bethel. We saw the occasion in which these words were uttered to Jacob. He had problems with his children, his household, and he was now to go back to where it all began. But you know, as Jacob is obedient to the Lord, what wonderful results I think you see coming to him. There are three things that Jacob does now, and that Jacob really is being encouraged to do. Three things. First of all, separation. Arise and go. Leave this place. Go back to Bethel. Be separate. And you know, is that not what the Lord commands us to do? To be separate in this world. Not to be confused with the world, with the Shechemites. Not to be united with the Shechemites. Not to go into league with the Shechemites. That brought him problems. But to be separate. Arise and go. And as Jacob arose and went and made his way to Bethel, look what happened. They journeyed, and the terror of God was upon the cities. As Jacob was obedient to God, and as he now arose and made his way, you would have thought this would have been a time for great fear. Before this, we see that Jacob was frightened of the Shechemites. He was frightened of Esau, even his brother, before this. But now he's terrified. But when he's obedient now to God, it's they that are terrified of him. Do you know why the world today is not terrified of the church? Because the church has not been obedient to the Lord. When the Lord returns, when the church returns, and when we return to the Lord, as Jacob returned to Bethel, the terror of Jacob was upon all the cities round about. God was with Jacob. Fear not, Jacob. I am with thee. As you leave the table, seek to arise, follow the Lord, and the Lord will go with you. And you know, as he went, the fear of the Lord was all around him. But there's a second thing that he did, not just separation, but reformation. Reformation. He says to his family, put away your idols. It's as though Jacob before this had tolerated these things. But now he says to his family and to the whole household, to his wives, put these things away from you. Let our house be clean. Let our house seek the blessing of the Lord. And you know what happened? Once again, there was a wonderful blessing on his home. They gave unto Jacob all the strange gods which were in their hand, and all the earrings. He hadn't asked for the earrings. All the strange gods which were in their hand, and all their earrings which were in their ears, and Jacob hid them under the oak which was in Shechem. Jacob, returning to the Lord in his own home, had a wonderful blessing upon his household. May it be that as we arise from this table, and as we go back to our own homes, may we resolve that we will follow the Lord fully in our own homes, among our own family. Surely if we love our families, we will seek the best for them. Jacob up until now had seemed to tolerate these things. But now, he tells them, let's reform our home. And it's a blessing to the whole home. What greater blessing could you have in your home than that the Lord would be in your family? But there's a third thing. Not only he separated, separation, arise and go. Not only a reformation, put away these strange gods, but there was now a new consecration. He left, and he went back to Bethel. What a blessing that was to Jacob. He made his way, and the terror of the Lord was around all the cities. His family had left all their idols back in Shechem, and now he comes to Bethel. And you know what happens there? The Lord meets with him, and the Lord talks with him, and the Lord blesses him there. God appeared unto Jacob again when he came to Padan Aram, and he blessed him. When we renew our consecration to the Lord will bless us. He will bless us still. As we think about the communion season is so very often a time of rededicating our lives and our homes and our families, of consecrating ourselves once again to the Lord. May it be like Jacob, that as we leave here, we will return to Bethel, to the place of God, to the house of God, and we will seek to worship Him anew, with a renewed vigour, going back to the beginning. As we rise from the table, we will seek to sing His praises, that they would be on our lips, and that His grace would be in our hearts. Singing from Psalm 103, O thou my soul, bless God the Lord, and all that in me is, be stirred up His holy name to magnify and bless you. Verses 1 to 4. Now my soul.
Oh, thou my soul.
Amen.
Let us pray. Most gracious and ever blessed Lord, we pray that thine own benediction would be upon all that was said and done this day, that all that was said in accordance with thine own will would be blessed, and that anything that may have been said amiss, that thou, O Lord, would forgive. Bless thy people who have sat at thy table. Give unto them, we pray thee, the desire for thee, that we would run after thee, that we would seek thee, and that thou would, we would seek to shelter under the shadow of thy wing. Strengthen those who may be struggling and whose hands are hanging down, who are finding the way so very difficult. We pray and ask, O Lord, that thou would strengthen them and bind them up, and we pray that each one of us would have our faith strengthened today. We pray for those who have been mere spectators, and we pray and ask, O Lord, that the day would come when they would come to shelter under the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And we pray that thou would bless even this communion season to even one over these few days, O Lord. We pray that thou would bless one that would be drawn to the Lord. But we look to thee, O Lord, and we can say with the Lord himself, not my will, but thy will be done. For we know that when thy will is done, then all is done decently and in order, and all is done well. We pray now that thou would part us in thy fear and with thy blessing, and give us the Spirit of the Lord to sing the last praise to thy glory. Pardon us for Jesus' sake. Amen. Shinshain on Sanarna Salam Jiag Harishad and Triafikat. Psalm 72. Psalm sing in Gaelic in Psalm 72, verse 17. Bienam sun buan, gusuyan shir, kovaran rishavain. Zaun sun bianachar gaslo, bianachar loefain. Bianach groed hier na dia, dia Israel ac na, an dia fan ni mir fogydd, a dda treisys nias da lai. Bianach groed gysir i bwyn, an am glor fwr ws o ffein. Un af glor gath ula hi, amen, agus, amen. Tri rhaim sy'n fi, an am sy'n bwyn gysui yn sy'n cofaran rys y grein. benediction. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Three persons, one God, rest on and abide with you, now and forevermore. Amen.
Mm-hmm.